ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इस् इन्फिनिट् एण्ड् दिस् यूनिवर्स् इस् आल्सो इन्फिनिट् दि इन्फिनिट् proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. Now, in this Shanti Mantra, peace chant, we are seeing this very truth is being repeated or explained in different words, which we are going to study very soon. Brahman is infinite. Whatever comes up out of Brahman cannot be anything else but infinite. In fact, something coming out, something going in, something joining, something separating from the infinite is inconceivable. So, that is why we get here in the section we are studying now, Brahman is given a beautiful name, Satyasya Satyam. What are the truths? This visible, experienceable, objectifiable universe that we are experiencing is Satyam. How come? Because whatever comes out of truth cannot be different from truth. Whatever is made out of clay must always be clay. The effect cannot be different from the cause. Every golden ornament is nothing but pure gold. Ornament is only a name and form for the purpose of some utility. But it is not mithya. But then, as we discussed already in our past classes, that only after the realization of Brahman as infinite, then only we realize that this universe is not mithya, but it is satya. There is nothing else other than Brahman. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. So this peace chant in this or for this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad or Yajurveda, especially Shukla Yajurveda, is itself the very essence of the entire Brihadaranyaka. In fact, it is the essence of all the Vedas. Sarve Vedaha Yat Padam Amananti. This is the truth. Infinite can never be concealed. Conceived cannot be thought about. But then, so long as we are in this state of finiteness, then we will have to think Brahman, however much we are talking about it as infinite, all-pervading, and nothing exists excepting it. These are all words. But so long as we are thinking about Brahman by the instrument called mind, which is by its very nature limited, finite, we cannot think, we can never understand what is the infinity. We do not say Brahman is infinite. Even that is redundant. Brahman is another name for infinity. Infinity is another name for Brahman. Purnam is the name, another name for Brahman. Because infinity remains infinity, but whatever name we give, it is only for the sake of teaching, for the sake of grasping. We use so many words, Atman, Brahman, etc., etc. But the truth can never be known unless we become one with that truth. And here is a greatest psychological takeaway. What is it? That even in this world, we can never get full 100% Purna Jnanam of any object in this world until we become one with that. If I want to know what is the nature of this person, I must identify myself completely
with that person, then I know what that person is. Until then, my knowledge becomes only partial, finite. So, this is the nature of the mind. That is why upasanas are the greatest helps for this purpose. We have been studying that one, that this second, especially chapter, is Ajatashatru wanted to teach whatever upasanas, O Gargiya, O Balaki, these two are the names of one and the same person who came to teach, but when he realized his knowledge is very inadequate, he humbly accepted and became a student, a keen student. He was a great sadhaka because he has done all the upasanas Ajatashatru had taught. How do we know? We do not know. But Ajatashatru will not teach. No teacher will teach fourth class lessons to third class or second class students. Only when a person passes third class, then he will start teaching because there must be a background. So, Gargiya wanted to teach what is the real nature of all of us. And even here is a greatest truth. When I say all of us, it doesn't mean only human beings. But we have to understand, human beings have the capacity, if they cultivate certain qualities, to progress in spiritual life. But other animals have to wait, because every atom in this creation is nothing but Brahman. We call it atom, not because Brahman became atom, but we are, through our limited instruments, are calling the atom, the Brahman, as atom. But when a person realizes that very same person who used to say this is an atom and not Brahman, that is to say this is some finite object, because I, the subject, am able to objectify it. Whatever is objectifiable, that person becomes the subject, and that person is not only separate, but complete opposite. The subject is always consciousness, the object is always jada. Does it apply to living beings? Yes, because when a subject is subjecting an object, making the object objectifiable, he is only looking at the body, at the mind, which are really jada. Consciousness will not objectify consciousness. There is no division as subject and object in consciousness. It is only the body-mind manifestation of that pure consciousness. This is another takeaway which we must always keep in mind. What is that? When you are looking at the body, it is nothing but pure consciousness. Because of our way of looking, our limited way of looking, that consciousness assumes in our sight as an object. As an example, if Sri Ramakrishna looks at a tree, he doesn't say it is a tree, he says it is Brahman is appearing with name and form, so I call it a tree. When we look at it, we only see the Namarupa. We even forget the Sat aspect, ease aspect. So this Shanti Mantra is the very essence. Infinite cannot be added, cannot be multiplied, cannot be divided. So infinite always remains infinite alone. It is to teach this lesson that the Upanishad introduces this marvelous story of King Ajatashatru, who was an aware of Brahman, and his apt disciple Balaki or Gargiya. So we have seen some aspects of it. Now we will see the other aspects of it. So Ajatashatru takes Gargiya to a sleeping person, calls him by name, touches him gently, shakes him mildly, but the person doesn't respond. So he shakes him violently, upon which the person wakes up. Then the king asks the question, looking at, the story is over. Sleeping person is kept aside. Now the teaching starts. Where was this person? If he was the body, that means when this person is identified with the body, he is called waker. And in the waking state, even if you call a person by name, even very mildly, in low voice, the person becomes immediately alert. So it is said, we are so much conscious of our own individual personality that if there are 1,000 people and somebody is just calling my name, forgetting all the noise around, I become focused, I become alert. Oh, somebody is calling my name. So much we are aware, identified with this body. So the Upanishad also, we have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Shikshavali, when a person goes to a school and so many students are chanting, they are all doing Vedic chanting, maybe 50, 100 pupils, and the father wants to find out his son. He could distinguish the voice of his child even among 100 voices. How could he do so? Because the person is so much attached, thinking day and night, that the sound of his children's voice becomes deeply impressed. If this is the case with regard to the son, what to speak of one's own self? We are terribly conscious, identified with our body. I am the body, every part of the body, from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. That's why if a smallest insect is crawling underneath our feet, immediately we become conscious. Or if the same insect is crawling through our hair or top of the head, we become conscious. Any part of the body. So much we are identified with the body. But that is not, I am not the body, I am not the mind. That lesson has to be taught. That is why Swami Vivekananda has squeezed the very essence of all the Upanishads. Each soul is potentially divine. That word potential is very important. Just like the potentiality of a huge banyan tree is completely remains unmanifest when it is in the state of a seed. But given appropriate circumstances, conditions, it slowly unravels itself, manifests itself. And that is how every Upanishad wants to tell us, from the wherever the pupil's mind is, his understanding, capacity of his understanding, the Upanishad wants to take that person slowly higher and higher. So now this is the critical analysis of three states of experience. And every human being has only three states of experience. And when a person gets out of it, through the process of neti-neti, then that person, it is not a state, only we will not understand when we say that is not a state. So it is called turiya, or fourth state. So long as we are in one of these three states, Brahman becomes turiya. But when once a person becomes one, attains unity, complete unity with Brahman, he doesn't say, I am in the fourth state. There is no state. There is no mind even to think. These are all divisions of the mind only. Mind creates language, and language is the greatest barrier. We can even say language is the greatest bondage, and language is the greatest liberator also at the same time. Any non-scriptural teaching leads to bondage. Any scriptural teaching leads to liberation. So here, the person, when the sleeping person, when he is called, he is not awakened because he is not in the waking state. And even Gargiya could understand that. When a person is touched, even if you touch a dreaming person, that person will immediately come up awake by touching. But even that touching did not work. That means he was not in the dream state. Then violently the king Ajatashatru shakes him and then he comes out. So why violent shaking? Because the Upanishad clearly describes having withdrawn from the waking state, dream state, the Jivatma enters into that causal state. Cause is always non-manifestation. We have to keep that in mind. That means no sense organs are there. Shaking affects what? Shaking affects only sense organs, whether it is in the waking state or even in the dream state. But since body and mind are completely absent in the deep sleep state, even that shaking has to be very violent. Then from wherever he was resting. And where was he resting? Hridaya Akashe. We have seen in Chandogya also, Asmin Brahmapure, in this body, which is called Brahmapura, because it is the residence of Brahman, in the, there is a cave, and in that cave, there is Chidakasha, and that Chidakasha is the Brahman, and this Jivatma, he withdraws as it were, and attains almost oneness, not complete, almost oneness, nearest. So very near to Brahman, that's what we have to understand. Why? Because if he is completely one with Brahman, once a person becomes once only with Brahman, then there is no question of ignorance. The person becomes immediately Jivan Mukta, or he attains, he gives up the body and forever becomes merged in Brahman. This complete mergence in Brahman is not taking place. But it is the nearest description of what could be the full conscious state. Now, look at this paradox. Deep sleep is the most manifest unconscious state so far as we understand. But the scripture tells us deep sleep state is the greatest state of pure consciousness, most manifest, less limited, because body mind are not limiting it. So that's why some technical words we have seen. Vikshepa Shakti of ignorance is absent, but Avarana Shakti is still there. But even that Avarana Shakti, I do not know I am Brahman, but I am in great bliss. And for several hours, unbroken bliss. There is no degree there. That is, actually we are going to see the description given by this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself. It is a marvelous state. So this is the critical analysis of the three states of consciousness. Now that is what, through this example, Ajatashatru wants to draw the attention of Gargiya. Where was this person? In deep sleep. What happens in deep sleep? The person is completely detached from body, completely detached from the mind. That means he is detached from the waking as well as the dream states. And so the entire samsara, consisting of duality, consisting of or influenced by vikshepa shakti, is totally absent. And that is why he is nearest. So vikshepa shakti means what? A person identifies with the body, thinks I am a waker. That is, I am a Vishwa. That is the Vikshepa Shakti. I am a dreamer. That is the Vikshepa Shakti. But here, just I am. And he doesn't even say, I am an ignorant person. The description of ignorance can come only in the waking state or in the dream state also. But it cannot come in the deep sleep state, because that division, I am a knowing person, I am an ignorant person, these thoughts, two thoughts, opposite thoughts, are possible only when the mind is functioning. Of course, mind itself is inert, but when it is reflecting, pure consciousness, Chidabhasa. Chidabhasa plus mind. Of course, Chit will always be there. Before creation, after creation, throughout the three states, without Chit, there cannot be Chidabhasa. Even if there is a first-class mirror in your room, if there is no sun, then the reflection of sunlight will not be there. So Chit plus Chidabhasa plus mind and body, that is the personality of the person called Jivatma. So in this deep sleep state, the person doesn't know what is duality, which is a great relief. And there he will be roaming about. This Upanishad, this very Brahmana, gives us beautiful description. He will be sleeping like a child. He will be sleeping like a great king. He will be sleeping like a greatest knower, Mahabrahmana. These are all to point out that your very nature is of the ultimate bliss, infinite bliss, Brahmananda. And the nearest to such experience comes only in the deep sleep state. In the dream state, it is much less but greater than the waking state. Because the greater the limitation, the lesser is the experience of ananda. That is why we give various names, sukha, etc. In English, there are wonderful names are there. Pleasure, if it is very momentary, it is pleasure. If it is lasting, it is called happiness. If it is spontaneous, it is called joy. So we also discussed the four different states of happiness. Vishayananda, Medhananda, Kalananda, and Dharmananda. We have to keep these points in mind whenever we are doing this one. So now this very Brahmana is giving. We will talk about the deep sleep state a little bit later on. What happens when this Jivatma enters into the dream world, that is Swapnavastha. So the Upanishad tells there is a heart, and beginning from the heart, there are 72,000 subtle nadis are there. This name nadi, that is in English it is called naru. So behind, for example, behind my eye, your eye, every eye, EYE, there are, the eye is only like a window. So there are many nerves which have the very subtle things. By cutting open, you will not be able to find out. This is a subtle body. And there, it carries the impressions, the eye carries the impressions of form. The ear carries the impressions of sounds, etc. And they are presented to the mind. The mind has a greater capacity to separate these things. These are sights. These are sounds. These are tastes. These are smells. And these are touches. And gives a composite picture of that object outside. The sense organs are divided. They only give 1/5 of the knowledge of any object. But every sense organ, 5 sense organs, gives a complete picture of the physical nature of the object, not the mental nature. Remember, mental nature can only be understood not by sense organs, but by the mind. Simple example I am giving to make these points crystal clear. Supposing a father is playing with the child. So he puts on ferocious face and slowly is bringing his face towards the body of the baby. We all play this one. And then the baby is puzzled. Why is my dear, he may not know the father, mother, why is it looks not a very positive figure. But the father comes and then he gently squares the stomach or the face of the child and laughs out. Baby immediately understands. Father is pretending to be angry. Do it second time. The moment you pout your face, the baby understands immediately. Father wants to continue. we all did it when we are in. Then you look at the face and close your eyes and slowly open one eye and immediately close it. And the baby is watching your eyes. Oh, mother wants to play with me. So this is how sister, by the way, Sister Nivedita beautifully describes this. So the babe, mother closes her eyes, baby is not. Baby closes her eyes, mother is not. Beautiful description is there. So all these, the sense organs will take the impression. It is like a purely like a physical camera. It is not the camera which understands what is in front of it, but it is the intelligence behind, the person behind. He used to cover his face with a black cloth and then he clicks. Even now we see through the aperture of this mobile phone and then we take out the picture. So the phone doesn't know what is being taken, why it is being taken, what this person is going to do. Just like that, the sense organ is only like a window. You open the window and see, smell, etc. So this is what happens in the waking state. What happens in the dream state? That is being described. In the heart, there are subtle nerves are there. How many? 72,000. Did the Upanishadic seer count to them? We don't know. But they may have intuitive knowledge. We don't know. But this is a way of telling, because the consciousness has to go through these subtle, they are called nadis. There is no better world. So these are all, it travels. And through those nadis, it takes the impressions, modifies them, plays with them, in whatever way it wants. So time becomes expanded. Space becomes expanded. Utility becomes expanded. How do we understand? For example, from here to America, within twinkling of a thought, a person goes. Time, very short time. But if you have to really, physical body has to be taken, takes a long time. Similarly, you can go to the sun, to the moon, to Swargaloka, after reading about it in the mythologies, etc. Then you take an impression. Human beings cannot fly like a bird. But nothing prevents a person from flying like a bird in the dream state. I myself have dreamt quite a few number of times. What freedom it is. Just a thought, I am flying like a bird, and you are actually flying like a bird. And if you have not experienced this very thing, I think I have to take pity upon you, because it is a very easy thing to do it. You can go, you can stay wherever you want. You go to Puri and attend Rathayatra. You go to, well, you come to Varanasi from America and you have Lord Vishnu's darshan. And the effect will not be small at all. It will be absolutely the same or even better. So you can create your desirable object to the highest perfection you are capable of imagining. So this is what it says, taking the impressions, vasanas. These jivatma enters through the heart. From the heart it starts through these 72,000 subtle nadis. But during deep sleep, all karmas are finished, because there is no body, there is no mind. When there is no mind, there are no impressions. And when there are no impressions, karma itself will fall down, because karma alone brings the impressions. Impressions make us experience the karma phala. So individuality is suspended. Karma and karma phala are suspended. The jivatma fully withdraws into the heart space. So where does this jivatma reside during this deep sleep state? Hridaya akasha. And what is this Hridaya akasha? It is not an empty space. It is another name for Brahman, Paramatma, Nirvisesha Chaitanyam. So Ajatashatru concludes that pure consciousness experienced in deep sleep is temporarily resting in the lap of the Paramatma, and that Paramatma, who is the Ashraya of this Jivatma, in the state of deep sleep, is the cause of this entire universe. How do we know? Because the Upanishad here itself gives an example of a spider. We all know the example of the spider is given even in this Mundaka Upanishad. Yatha Unanavi Srijate Grinate Cha. So what happens here? The spider, it travels where it wants. And when it wants, it brings out from within itself, from its mouth, these threads go on coming. And it is so skillful. No human being can do it. In fact, it is only after watching the spider's web, what we now call the internet. It is called web. This is called net. Internet, web, it is all imitation of the spider. And it endows these, what is called the net, with tremendous amount of consciousness. Any insect that touches it, just like when any mosquito or ant touches our body, we become conscious. Our consciousness is all over the body, all over the skin, in the form of touch, sparsha. Thus, in deep sleep state, this, what happens? Just like the Jivatma resides in the lap of the Paramatma, and now that Paramatma or Brahman, it becomes Saguna Brahma, and it projects like a spider. So it spreads its net and it goes on eating. Then the harvest time in that particular place is over. It is perhaps comparable to our nomadic life several thousand years back. So we did not know how to cultivate. Then we used to go where nature cultivates and enjoy, exhaust all the food available, move on to another place. But our ancestors had learned a lesson, which is burning the, as soon as they used to exhaust all the food, they burned that particular place. They understood over hundreds of years of experience, when we burn, a new growth will come, new food will be available, but meanwhile, we have to seek new pastures. So it goes to a new pasture and then does the same thing, lives there. So we used to go where food is available. That is called nomadic life. Now, slowly man had learned how to cultivate. Then food is produced by us wherever we are. Of course, taking into consideration fertile land and rainfall and heat, air, etc., etc. And there are so many places. Then the whole civilization started with this agricultural civilization. Families became expanded as joint families until again the break came through the industrial civilization. And again we became nomads, where raw material is available, where factories started to be started, and people move there. So now it is a super nomadic life. That is where we are now. This is the fifth civilization we are in. And some people are talking there is going to be a sixth civilization. It is called AI civilization. We don't know what would be the consequences, but definitely tremendous amount of destruction is being wrought out with the help of the AI. But that's not our concern. It is all the Leela of the Divine Mother. So, deep sleep is a state where we are the Jagat Karanam. And Jagat Karanam means cause of this multifarious world. That is why that deep sleep is also called Karana Sharira. That's very Sharira itself is Karana. Then the Upanishad goes on telling something marvelous. That means this Ajatashatru was teaching. So in that case, the waking state is unreal. The dream state is unreal. The deep sleep is also unreal because all the three circulate one after the other, rotate one after the other, our consciousness as if it is moving from the waking to dream to the deep sleep to again waking. So what causes the waking and dream? This karana sharira. That's why it is called causal body. But through this description, where is this jivatma? He resides temporarily in the lap of the paramatma. Truly speaking, that realization of that paramatma is the final goal. Otherwise, you just go on sleeping, deep sleep. If that is the state of realization, nothing else is needed. Probably some modern medicines can put us permanently into that state of realization. But no. But we can analyze that state and understand tremendous amount of bliss is available to us through this deep sleep, even though time wakes us up. That time is in the causal state. In fact, time, space and causation are in the causal state, and because it is a causal state, every cause must inevitably fructify itself, transform itself into an effect. There is no choice. That's why we should not remain even in the causal state. We should go beyond the causal state, which is called Turiya Avastha, Turiya. So that is what our Upanishad wants to teach us. And in this, what happens in this deep sleep state, that certain facts are said. So the next section in this Brahmana is called Sishu Brahmana. Sishu means baby. So the Jivatma in this state is compared to a baby. How, without any worries, the baby sleeps. Not only that, whether a baby sleeps, a king sleeps, a great learned man sleeps, an elephant sleeps, a mosquito sleeps, whichever Jivatma sleeps, temporarily they will attain to the same bliss. So when you see it, a baby blissfully smiling and in deep sleep, and we were also in that state, we do not recollect that state, but when we look at the baby, we recollect and say, oh, how marvelously, if I could also sleep so marvelously like this baby. So the lesson is not sleeping. The lesson here is, if I can be as innocent, as pure as this baby, then my whole life will be a swimming in the ocean of infinite bliss. So the Shishu Brahmana is compared again to the Prana. Prana means Hiranyagarbha. In that state, Hiranyagarbha, remember, is a causal state. Collective causal state is called Hiranyagarbha. So in this Shishu Brahmana, the Jivatma is compared to a baby so long as he is in this Sushupti state. And then Upanishad also tells, Satyasya Satyam. A tremendous fact is being taught here to all of us. Usually, those who study these Advaitic works are Upanishads commented by Advaitic teachers, tell us this world is mithya. That's why when somebody asked Shankaracharya, that sir, please tell us what is the essence of whatever you have written, cart loads of books you had written. Shankaracharya immediately said, not only I will tell you in short, I will tell you in just half a line. Shlokarthena pravakshyami yat uktam grantha koti vihi. Brahma satyam jagan mithya jivo brahma iva naparaha. So brahma satyam. So this brahman is truth. Understandable. The jagat is mithya. Jiva, when we call a person a jiva, is he within the world or not? Then how can he be none other than Brahman, as stated in the third point, Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha? No. As long as we are in this state of ignorance, then we are also in this world. World is half truth. Remember, mithya is not non-existence. Mithya is half knowledge about any object. A rope, half understood, becomes a snake. So like that here, anything that we half understand, it becomes an object. When fully understood, it is nothing but Brahman. So, but as Sri Ramakrishna says, only when a person reaches the roof, then only he can understand what is the material out of which the entire building has been made. My favorite example, suppose there is a wax garden. So it is big wax garden. It is occupying a big room. In fact, temples are also constructed there. So when I was in Alsur, I was given the task of completing the construction of a temple. And Belur Math, our architect who designed it, he sent a model of it, something like a wax. And everything is made up of that material. The trees, the temple, the human beings, everything. So when a person is a small baby, let us say a baby, a small child, you take to that wax garden, show him, what is this? Oh, that is a tree. What is this? This is a dog. What is this? This is a human being. But when the same child grows up and then takes a look at the garden, then he says, what is that tree? It is a wax tree. Saying it is a tree, saying it is a wax tree, makes all the difference. Wax tree, wax man, wax dog, wax temple, everything makes complete sense. That is called reaching the roof. That is called realizing everything is Brahman, pure existence. The nature is only wax. Here in this sense, Sat, Chit, Ananda. Everything, creation. So, before ignorance disappears, this creation should be considered as mithya. That is half-truth. That is called Satyam. Upanishad gives the word Satyam. This world is also Satyam because where from it has come? From Brahman. Every scripture, categorically, without the slightest controversy, tells God created this world. Only what do they mean by God created? Has he become, or is he like a potter, sits separately and makes up something? According to Advaita Vedanta, which according to Sri Ramakrishna is the final goal, final realization. Advaitic view is, it is not Parinamavada, it is Vivartavada. That is, it appears only in nothing but Brahman. But we understand that everything is Brahman only after we realize Brahman. So, Satyam is the effect that we see, and the every effect must come out of a cause, and that cause is the Satyam, the effect is Mithya. But when we understand the cause, the nature of the cause, we also understand the effect cannot be different from the cause. So if Brahman is Satyam, this creation cannot be Mithya. That is why it is said that this entire body, mind complex, Karya Karana Sanghata, is nothing but Brahman. So there is an incident, that is Swami Turiyanandaji. He was a staunch Advaitin, and then his time had come to give up this body in full consciousness. Before giving up this identity with this limited body-mind complex, he had uttered, it is recorded, Brahma Satyam, Jagat Satyam, Jivaha Satyam. Brahman is truth, this world is also truth, and every Jiva, Brahma Eva, Na Paraha. Some senior Vedanta Swamis were shocked. Shankara says, Jagat Mithya. Swami Turiyananda says, Jagat also is Satyam. Not only Brahma Satyam, Jagat Satyam. And I don't know, probably most of them do not have the common sense to understand. Now we know that before realization, this is a half-truth, that is called mithya. After realization, there is nothing called two truths, the world and Brahman. World is another name for Brahman. Brahman is another name for the world. From the viewpoint of a realized soul, this Brahman is nothing but the world. So, this knowledge comes only, important point, we have to keep in mind. This, to perceive this world, creation as Brahman, one must first identify oneself as Brahman with the cause, then with that I of realization, when we look at this world, at this creation, then we say Brahma Satyam, Jagat Satyam. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Swami Turiyanji was only reiterating that Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. There is nothing untruth here. Untruth cannot exist. That is what Ajatashatru was trying to teach to Gargya. These are beautiful analyses. We will talk about it tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.